And now, from the Center for Common Sense Counseling, here's Roland Trujillo.
Well, hello everybody. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland, and I bid you welcome. I think you're going to like this program. Yes, I think you're going to like this program. My name is Roland. I'm a pastor. I've been on the air for 23 years. I've written 16 books. And I'm pleased to be here on this wonderful, wonderful radio station. Please listen up, because I'm going to have some very important information for you, the kind of information that you're not likely to hear anywhere else. I'd like to begin by talking about the universe. I'd like to begin by talking about the universe. And the reason why is because I'm finishing up a book, which will soon be published, a very beautiful book about God and about the universe. Look, what is important? What is important is how you relate to your Creator and how you relate to other people. Those are basically the most important things in life. When you stop to think about it, all the other things pale in comparison. As somebody once said, let's drag a U-Haul behind us when we leave this world. All the stuff we accumulate or the stuff we don't accumulate, it's really not very important at all. But what's important is how you relate to God and how you relate to other people. And so, with that little backdrop, let us now look at the universe and see what we might learn about our Creator by looking at the universe. The first thing we learn is that he lives in the timeless realm. He lives in the timeless realm. And he created the universe, and when he created the universe, time came into existence. See, for there to be time, there has to be cause and effect. So one thing happens after another, one thing happens before another, you see? And also there have to be things. There have to be objects, material things. So there's relationship between them. You see, there have to be relationships, one thing related to another, for there to be time. And so, here we are, we humans, and we're very keenly aware of time. See, that is proof positive that there's something very special about human beings, something very, very special. See, we are created in the image and likeness of our Creator. And it's quite obvious because we're aware of time. Animals are not aware of time. Animals don't do math. Animals don't have insights. Animals are not aware of time. But we humans are. We are aware of time because we have a soul which is capable of being aware of time. Incidentally, that's another proof. That's another proof that we do have a soul and that there is a timeless realm, because our soul... See, our soul sits right at the edge of time and timelessness. Our soul belongs in the timeless realm, but it is in this body. We're given a body, and our soul is a body, so we're a soul in a body. See, you are your inner person. Sure, you have hands and feet and arms and legs, and you have eyes and ears, but you're an arm within an arm, a hand within a hand, an eye within an eye, an ear within an ear. And so you have a soul, and it's aware of time. Now, there are various things, various factors, or various processes going on in the universe. You know, there's light, there's time, there's motion, there's change, there's energy, all these things. But the one that is the very most important, and that's what I bring out in my book, the one that is the very most important of all is time. Because it is how we use our time that determines whether we develop character or not, and whether we're able to step across to timelessness and perhaps even learn to live forever. My name is Roland. Hi, this is Roland. Do you have relationship issues? Okay, who doesn't have relationship issues? That's why I want to tell you about my most popular book, The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. Do you and your partner argue all the time? Do you want to understand men and women better? Are you in a relationship and thinking of getting married? Then you will want to preview The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. You'll find out how to relate better with your partner, reduce your stress, and possibly even heal your relationship. Visit www.talktoapastor.org and look for The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage. You'll be glad you did. Oh, incidentally, I want to tell you about a special that we have. For a donation of any amount, I'll send you a PDF of The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage by email as a token of my appreciation. That's for a donation of any amount. I'll send you a PDF of The Myths and Mysteries of Marriage by email so you can start reading it right away. My name is Roland. You're listening to Talk to a Pastor. Today we're talking about the universe. We're talking about God. We're talking about the soul and about we humans. And we must learn how to relate properly to our Creator. We must learn how to relate properly to our fellow human beings. Isn't it your relationship with your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your mom, your dad, your brother and sister, your co-workers? Is not your relationship with these people, is that not uppermost in your mind? And does your relationship to them not determine whether you are happy or not? Do you have stress or not? See? So I said our relationship to time. Now what is time? Time is a gift from our Creator. It's a facet of His love. God lives in the timeless realm. He created time, and it is in time, in the realm of time, that you have time to change for the better, to develop character, you know, honor, patience, kindness, long-suffering, courage, and such beautiful virtues, love, patience. You are given a certain amount of time upon this earth within which to develop these virtues and to develop character. And then when you drop the body, and what all you have left is character. And what your character is determines where you go, you see. So it's very important that we use our time wisely. I was saying the other day, and I say in my book too, it's a beautiful book, absolutely beautiful. I was writing, that we all... Time is the most important thing that we relate to. Yes, we do relate to energy, you know, to warmth and heat and cold and movement and so on and so forth. And we relate to gravity in a very palpable way. Yes, indeed, if you are out skating at the skating rink and you slip and fall on your rear end, well, you become very much aware of the law of gravity when you hit rock bottom. Yes, gravity is something that we are intimately acquainted with, but your relationship to gravity does not determine your eternity. Your relationship with light, or with heat, or with movement, or with motion, or with matter, does not determine your fate, your eternity. But your relationship with time does, because you must use your time wisely. And one of the ways in which we do not use our time wisely, one of the ways in which we fritter away time and we do not develop character, in fact, we deteriorate, is when we become impatient. So I ask you, are you impatient with your children? Are you impatient with other people? When somebody cuts in front of you on the freeway, are you patient or are you impatient? If you are patient, which means you don't resent, you don't judge, you give people space. See, you don't pressure people. You don't judge them and hate them. You don't pressure your kids. If you have patience, well, then you are imitating your Creator, who has immense patience. He has patience with you. He gives you time. But if you are impatient, you immediately, see, immediately cuts you off from love. It cuts you off from the flow of love if you are impatient. So the first thing you're going to have to learn if you want to use your time wisely and relate to time wisely and develop character, see, and incidentally have less stress. I'll be talking about that in my next commercial. If you want to have less stress, are you stressed? Are you irritable? Are you nervous? See, do you feel under pressure? Well, then you're not using your time wisely. And the reason is because you're impatient and because you are resentful. So if you want to learn how to use your time wisely, then you must become not resentful. You must learn how to not be resentful, how not to be judgmental, how to be patient. Okay, so you need to get my book, get my meditations, and get my new book. It's beautiful. Incidentally, do you have an interest in physics, in cosmology, in science, in Albert Einstein? For example, if you do, you'll want to get my book. Now, and so in this time, if you relate to time properly, then you will be given the space to learn how to relate to other people, because that's what God cares about. Okay, now I'll give you a clue about the creator of the universe. I'll give you a little clue. He cares about your relationship with other people. And how do I know that? And how do you know it? Because you know it deep down in your heart. Look, you probably are very far away from your conscience right now, very far away. If you feel conscience at all, you may sense it as a vague anxiety sometimes. Or perhaps your conscience bothers you, but you quickly dismiss it. You run around to your friends and they give you reassurance and approval, and you reach for your mobile device, and you have a drink or a puff on a marijuana, or you become distracted in your music. Your music lies to you and tells you that you're wonderful. Your music lies to you and tells you that you're fine just the way you are. See, your marijuana lies to you and tells you you're wonderful. Your lovers lie to you and tell you that you're fine just the way you are. They all lie to you. But your conscience is your true friend. Your conscience doesn't lie to you. See, when you don't do something quite right, maybe when you were a little child, you were close to your conscience. In fact, you were when you were a little child. When you hated somebody or when you were angry at somebody, you felt bad in your inside, didn't you? Yeah, that's your conscience. And you know what your conscience is? It's your closest link to God. That's right. It's also intuition. What do you think? How do you think people like Einstein, for example? How do you think Einstein, people like him, Mozart, Beethoven, Madame Curie, Sojourner Truth, how do you think these great inventors and explorers and scientists and noble people, how do you think they got to be the way they are? How about Paul? How about Enoch? How about Jeremiah? How about Isaiah? They were close to their conscience. See? And for them, their conscience was intuition. It didn't even feel like conscience because they walked with God. And that's where their inspiration came from. That's where their insights came from intuition, because they were close to their conscience. I'll be right back after this important announcement. Please listen carefully. Do you suffer from stress? Reacting to stress is natural for animals, but for us humans, stress usually makes us irritable, impatient, and upset. We find ourselves being mean to those we should be kind to, or we find ourselves suppressing emotions until they make us upset on the inside. Shouldn't we be able to live with others without being upset with each other? The answer is yes. Right now you are too reactive. That's your problem. The stress of others causes you to react with hostility or repression. Were you in your center, the stress of others would call forth patience and understanding. It would call forth the courage to speak honestly. It would call forth patience to deal with the foibles of your fellow human beings without becoming upset. The solution to all your stress-based problems is to learn how to remain in your center. The meditation exercise helps you find your center of dignity so you'll be less reactive and more patient. Download a free introduction to the meditation at commonsensecounseling.org. Thank you. hello, everybody. Welcome back. Welcome to the program. My name is Roland. I'm a pastor. We're talking about the universe. We're talking about God, about the soul, and about how to use time wisely and how to relate to other people. And I said that your conscience is your closest link to God. If you never strayed from your conscience, if you never doubted it, if you were never resentful toward other people, you never doubted your conscience. See, and you remain close to it. You always checked with your conscience, then it would be intuition. It would feel like intuition. You wouldn't even know it was there, except it would bring you beautiful insights. Beautiful insights and discoveries. You'd be innocent. You'd be like Albert Einstein riding his bike or out on a sailboat, discovering God's great green earth. See, and you wouldn't have a care in the world, and you wouldn't be guilty, and you wouldn't be nervous. See? But what happened was you became resentful. You resented your mom, or you resented your dad, you resented your boyfriend, girlfriend, you resented your brother, your sister. You became angry, became ambitious. The world's voice was very strong. They told you to doubt your conscience. They said, listen to us. We want you to be ambitious, to try to achieve and to be more and more. See? And so you became ambitious. Possibly it was a peer group. See, your peers, you wanted their approval. And they said, hey, you're going to have to be like us. You're going to have to be promiscuous. You're going to have to take drugs. See, you're going to have to go against your parents. And you're going to have to be like us, and we'll accept you. See, and they rejected you until finally you caved in, and then they accepted you, and they gave you approval. But in order to get approval, you earned the disapproval of your conscience. You're not in God's good graces anymore. So now I want to complete the thought of what I said before, because this is very important. And that is, what does God care about? And the way you can know what God cares about is by your conscience. See? Now people, of course, Einstein is at a higher level. And then people like Paul and Enoch, and people like that, Moses, you know, Madame Jean Guyon, St. Francis de Sales, Augustine, people like that, Sojourner Truth, Susan B. Anthony, you know, these people are at a higher level. But that's where you want to get to. You want to get to their level or beyond. If you want to, if you want to live forever, you want to get to a higher level. You certainly don't want to stay at the level that you're at now, resenting people, being impatient with people. I saw a man today, he was carrying his little boy to the car. Little boy, I don't know, 2-3 years old. But the little boy was crying. I'm sure he was upset. I'm sure his father had been cruel, some sort of subtle cruelty, or impatient with him. So he put him in the car, and then he slammed the door. That's right, he slammed the door. This father slammed the door of the car. So, yeah, he didn't hurt the child, but I saw he was angry. He was angry. What was he angry about? Because the little child was crying. So, the point I'm getting at is that we get angry. See, we don't show it. We go to the office, we smile, we act real nice, but we're angry underneath. We're angry at our wife, we're angry at our husband. You're angry at your co-workers, you're angry at your children. You're angry at yourself, you're angry at God, you're angry at the world. See how that works? Or you just suddenly look down your nose upon other people, you judge them, you puff up. See, you puff up in contemptuous judgment of other people. So God doesn't like that sort of thing. And how do you know? Because if you're close to your conscience doesn't care if you spill a little milk, but it cares if you're impatient with people and you resent it. Hello. Some of you have been listening for a while and like where I'm coming from. You recognize the truth and are willing to admit you've made some mistakes. The next step is to make some positive changes in your life. A good place to start is with the meditation exercise. Most of us are too lost in our thinking. We plan, worry, and scheme,
Then we act emotionally and usually make things worse. Instead of worrying and scheming, why not spend the time learning to be still and find the wisdom and a proper energy to move with? In other words, why not request our meditation exercise? It will help you get out of fixating problems and negative thinking. To request a copy of the meditation exercise, write, call, or email us. Or just pay us a visit at commonsensecounseling.org. You'll be glad you did. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Roland. I'm a pastor. I've been on the air for 23 years. So how's your life working out for you? How's your life working out for you? See, if it's not working out so good, something's wrong. See, you can't blame other people. You have to say, well, how am I not relating properly to time? How am I not relating properly to my Creator? How am I not relating properly to other people? Now, how are you going to know what mistakes you're making with other people? It'll be your conscience. Conscience is your closest link to God. From conscience, which is intuition. See, conscience only feels like intuition when you stray from it. When you're close to your conscience, like when you were a little child, it was just there. You didn't even know it was there. Then it bothers you when you do something wrong, but then as you get farther and farther away from it by doubting it, see, what does your conscience say? Your conscience says, hey, you're being impatient with your child. Hey, you're resenting your husband. You're resenting your wife. Hey, you're being a little phony with that person. Hey, you're being a little sneaky and dishonest. Hey, you're gossiping. See how that works? That's what your conscience is wordlessly saying, wordlessly, without words, just quietly in your heart, you know. But your marijuana says you're wonderful. See, all the liars, the music and the entertainment, they all cater to you. See, they entertain you. They make you feel like you're wonderful. All your sports makes you feel like everything's fine. Okay, so they lie to you. Your conscience is your friend. Your conscience is your closest link to God. So how do you become friends with your conscience again? We become like the prodigal son. Remember, he came back to his father and he said, Father, I went off and I did a lot of bad things and I disobeyed you and I'm sorry, Father. And his father said, I know, my son, I know you did. I know you did all those things. I've just been waiting for you to come back and be sorry. Come, welcome, let's have a feast. Because I had lost a son, now I've gained my son back. See, that's how you come back to conscience, which is your closest link to God. So you want to be a friend of God? Would you like to be a friend of God? Then become a friend of your conscience. Learn to find your conscience. See, now you're so far away from it, you don't even know it's there anymore. Now you could sit around and look at pornography and smoke marijuana and be impatient with your kids and drink and go out and be phony with people and be dishonest and be sneaky and have all your priorities upside down. You could do all those things. You wouldn't even feel anything. That's how far away you are from your conscience. See? All you'd feel is a little vague anxiety, and then you'd take a pill or smoke a marijuana or drink something to get rid of it. See? But if you wanted to refind your conscience, well, see, I have a meditation that helps you to refind your conscience. Then you could reconcile with your conscience, reconcile with God. It's called repentance. Having a change of heart. See? Then you could become a friend of your conscience. Then you could become like Albert Einstein, making wonderful discoveries and happy and carefree. See? All right. Well, so what resources do I have? I have a lot of resources. I have a lot of books, a lot of audio. A lot of it is free. The audio is free. You can preview my books at my website, commonsensecounseling.org, or you can go to Amazon, where most of my books are. You can look inside for free. You know how you go to Amazon, look inside? You can look inside and read dozens of pages free. Of course, you should buy some of them, too. That way you'd help me. See, I'm your friend. See, but I don't sound like your friend. Your friend's
pat you on the back and tell you you're wonderful. I don't tell you you're wonderful, but I'm your true friend. See? Incidentally, this is a volunteer effort. I buy this airtime myself. I buy this airtime so I can tell you the truth and then go to the mailbox and there's not even a letter there, or maybe one letter. But I'm very grateful for that one special letter. That one or two special letters mean a lot to me. They mean a lot to me. Ladies and gentlemen, become a friend of conscience. This is Pastor Roland. I get a lot of emails, but it's always a special treat to go to my mailbox and find a card or letter from a listener. I love letters from listeners, so I want to make sure you have my address so you can write to me. So here it is. Send your cards and letters to Roland Trujillo. I'll spell it for you. That's R-O-L-A-N-D. T-R-U-J-I-L-L-O. Post Office Box 854, Berkeley, California, 94701. Here it is again, Roland Trujillo, Post Office Box 854, Berkeley, California, 94701. I look forward to reading your letter. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, I said refind your conscience. If you'd like to find it, you need to get my meditation so you can learn how to become still and refind your conscience again. Become a friend of it. Go to my website, talktoapastor.org. That's talktoapastor.org or commonsensecounseling.org. Check out the resources and listen to the meditation. Some of them are free, actually. Get some of my books. Start changing for the better, and life will be sweet. Until next time, Lord willing, and the creek don't rise, I'll see you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to Roland Trujillo from the Center for Common Sense Counseling. Now you can listen to Roland anytime by logging on to www.commonsensecounseling.org. You'll find lots of free helpful information, and you can also order materials or make a donation by using your credit card. Once again, the web address is commonsensecounseling.org. Please remember that Roland's program is listener-supported. Thank you.